Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, text number 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sanyasa Karma Yogascha, Nishreyasa Kuravavo, Tayostu Karma Sanyasat, Karma Yoga Vashishate. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The personality of Godhead said, sannyasa, renunciation of work. Karma Yoga, work in devotion. Cha, also. Nishreyasa, karo, leading to the path of liberation. Ubo, both. Tayo, of the two. Two, but. Karma sannyasat. In comparison to the renunciation of fruit of work. Karma yoga, work in devotion. Vishishite is better. Personality of Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. Purport. Fruit of activities seeking sense gratification are the cause for material bondage. As long as one is engaged in activities aimed at improving the standard of bodily comfort, one is sure to transmigrate to different types of bodies, thereby continuing material bondage perpetually. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:5-4-6 confirms this as follows. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yat indriya pritya aprinoti nisadamanya yat atmanoyam asanna pikleshada ashadeha Paravastavadabodajato niyavanna jignasita atmatatvam yavan kriyastavadidam vinovai karmatmakam yena shariravandaha evamana karma visham prayukte avididatman yavidiyadmane pritirna yavan mai vasudeve nimuchante deha yogena tadvat. People are mad after sense gratification, and they do not know that this present body, which is full of miseries, is a result of one's fruitive activities in the past. Although this body is temporary, it is always giving one trouble in many ways. Therefore, to act for sense gratification is not good. One is considered to be a failure in life as long as he makes no inquiry about his real identity. As long as he does not know his real identity, he has to work for fruit results for sense gratification. As long as one is engrossed in the consciousness of sense gratification, one has to transmigrate from one body to another. Although the mind may be engrossed in fruitive activities and influenced by ignorance, one must develop a love for devotional service to Vasudeva. Only then can one have the opportunity to get out of the bondage of material existence. Therefore, gyan or knowledge that one is not this material body, but spirit soul, is not sufficient for liberation. One has to act in the status of spirit soul. Otherwise, there is no escape from material bondage. Action in Krishna consciousness is not, however, action on the fruitive platform. Activities performed in full knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. Without Krishna consciousness, mere renunciation of fruitive activities does not actually purify the heart of a conditioned soul. As long as the heart is not purified, one has to work on the fruitive platform. But action in Krishna consciousness automatically helps one escape the result of fruitive action so that one need not descend to the material platform. Therefore, action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails a risk of falling. Renunciation without Krishna consciousness is incomplete as confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-258. Prapanchi Katya Budhya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mukshubi Prityago Vairagyam Palgo Pakatite. When a person eager to achieve liberation renounces things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. Renunciation is complete when it is in the knowledge that everything in existence belongs to the Lord and that no one should claim proprietorship over anything. One should understand that factually nothing belongs to anyone. Then where is the question of renunciation? One who knows that everything is Krishna's property is always situated in renunciation. Since everything belongs to Krishna, everything should be employed in the service of Krishna. This perfect form of action in Krishna consciousness is far better than any amount of artificial renunciation by a sannyasi of the Mayavadi school. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Sannyasa Karma Yogas Cha Nishraya Sukaravo Toyostu Karma Sannyasa Karma Yoga Vashishite. Personality of Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work and devotional service is better than renunciation of work. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. This is a topic that Krishna has already gone over in the third chapter, and he goes over it again in other chapters, that it's better to work in Krishna consciousness than simply to stop work and try to become free from one's material desires. Generally speaking, the Varna and Ashram system is a system which gradually helps one become free from desires, mostly by understanding that they're not as significant as other desires. In other words, when one is distressed as a Shudra, then gradually one becomes purified for serving people who are on a higher level of consciousness. And by such association, one becomes purified and gradually takes on the qualities of the people that he's serving, whether it be a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Shudra or a Brahmana. And the whole idea is to come to the platform of, very simply, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Para. To give up hankering and lamentation. Now, ordinarily that's not possible because, as it says here, anyone who identifies himself with their gross or their subtle material body, they have to hanker or lament because it's built into the body. That we always want, whatever our circumstances are in the material existence, we always want some other circumstance, which is better. If we're in a comfortable situation, we want even a more comfortable situation. If we're suffering, then we want to get out of the suffering. But material existence means to go from one state of existence to the other, and that's arranged by our desires. Our consciousness is aware of different desires that are flowing through our mind, and we can choose which desire we want to become attached to. Now, if there's a spiritual desire, we can also become attached to that idea. But if there's a material idea, we can also become attached to that idea. And according to our attachment, what we choose, then we get a certain experience. Now, if the experience is superior, which spiritual ideas are supposed to give us, then we have to do something not just think, of course, on a higher level, one can simply think about Krishna's pastimes, and that in itself is pure devotional service, shravanam. And that is our goal, is to come to the platform where we're actually in the spiritual world with Krishna, remembering his name, form, quality, and pastimes, which are all non-different from him, to actually associate with Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. But as long as one has attraction to the material world, then one also has to act in the capacity of a spiritual soul. And that's the whole business of the Hare Krishna movement, is to teach people how to act in the capacity of a soul. That, generally speaking, religiousness is good because it stops it gradually restricts one's sense gratification. As one moves from the practical activities of acting as a Shudra to a Vaishya to a Kshatriya to a Brahmana, then gradually one's sense activities are restricted because one becomes purified, not artificially. Now, sometimes people may take up a position which they're actually not qualified for, and therefore their sense activities are restricted way beyond their capacity to restrict them. Krishna doesn't approve of that. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, yes to indriyani manasa, actually before that, karmanindriyani samyamya yaste manasa smaran indriyartam vimudatma mityacharas uchite. One who restrains his senses and organs of action, but his mind dwells on sense objects, certainly befools himself and is called a pretender. In other words, acting in the Vanashram system, or just acting according to our capacity, and trying to engage ourselves in devotional service will gradually purify one. But if one takes up a position where sense gratification is restricted beyond one's capacity, and one is always trying to repress one's desires, then the result is that one will actually become more attached to the material desires. Because material energy always works on the promise that of happiness. And the more we believe in the promise, then the more effect the material nature has upon us. The more we believe that there's something beyond or better than devotional service, then the more we become interested in experiencing. And the more we restrain our senses and artificially from that interest, then the more the interest grows until it overwhelms one. Instead of thinking about Krishna, one is always thinking about renouncing his desires, how difficult it is, or how he doesn't really want to do it, and that, etc., etc. So one is completely absorbed in the feelings that he's trying to avoid. On the other hand, if one is actually properly situated in the Varna and Ashram system, then one gets the amount of sense gratification necessary to satisfy one, and at the same time one gradually develops a higher taste so that one's sense gratification diminishes gradually. But we don't have time in Kali Yuga, because we're only going to be here for a very short period of time. And Kali Yuga is such is that anyone who tries to follow the Vanashram system, they can't even remember what the duties are, what to speak of following them. Therefore, in this age, the Krishna consciousness is introduced through the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And along with the chanting Hare Krishna, some aspects of the Vanashram system are introduced so that we have some restriction in our sense gratification, especially eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These things are supposed to be gradually restricted according to one's capacity to actually do them. But at the same time, one should chant Hare Krishna, so that by such association with Krishna, then one can actually experience the ecstasy of being in Krishna consciousness, which will diminish material desires. But at the same time, it is a very slow process to try to restrict sense gratification according to the duties of Varnashram and just chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, better than that is to act as the middle class devotee, Madhyam Adhikari, and try to engage oneself in devotional service. Pure devotional service. And pure devotional service is simply based upon love, devotion. So that devotion means Ishvara Tada Dineshu Balisheshu Dvisasucha Prema Maitri Kripopeka Yat Karoti Samadhimaha. That's why we take initiation, because to act as a Madhyama Adhikari on the second class platform, one has to give up one's false ego. One has to identify oneself as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. So initiation is supposed to be the impetus to simply identify ourselves as the servant of the servant of Krishna, so we can act on the liberated platform, which is the Madhyama Adhikari platform. Now, if we're simply acting on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, it doesn't mean we're liberated. It means we're on the path of liberation. We can be on the path of liberation by following Varnashram, but we'll be in Satya Yuga before we become perfect by following Varnashram, if we make it to Satya Yuga. On the other hand, if we act in the capacity of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, without the false identification with our gross and subtle body, that doesn't mean we give up our activities according to our nature. Because Krishna says that, or as Prabhupada writes in the purport, that while we're acting, developing a sense of Krishna consciousness, we should still act according to our conditioned nature. In other words, we're trying to act to love Krishna and cooperate with the devotees and help the innocent and avoid the atheists. But that doesn't mean we act independently of the modes of nature we're situated under, because only a liberated soul can actually do that safely. So while we act according to our duties, and of course in our duties, as I said the other day, our duty is to spread the Sankirtan movement, because the person who introduced the chanting of the holy names in the sages is Lord Chaitanya. And he came with the Sankirtan movement. You know, the Sankirtan, the holy names, become most effective when they're chanted in congregation. And therefore he introduced the chanting of the holy names, specifically not only to liberate ourselves, but to liberate the whole universe. His desire is that everyone chant Hare Krishna. So in order to get that, to do that, it takes some organization and intelligence. The holy name itself, if it's chanted purely, will attract everyone. But it requires ourselves to learn how to chant purely, and for that it means to engage ourselves completely in Krishna's service by specifically worshipping Krishna in the form of the holy name and the deities, and to, in the association of devotees, learn how to engage simply in loving exchanges without material conceptions. And then to go out and give the happy information to the conditioned souls, that in spite of all the difficulties in Kali Yuga that you may have to face, still you can become purified and be happy under any circumstance by becoming conscious of Krishna and doing the best you can to engage yourself in Krishna's service while you're facing the ups and downs of material existence. And then gradually the influence of the materialistic, whatever materialistic association we and others have had, will gradually diminish. Prabhupada said, if you light a match in the dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. So the ecstasy, the happiness that everyone's looking for, is found in the chanting of the holy names and hearing about Krishna. And worshiping Krishna, serving Krishna, serving Krishna's mission. This is where all the happiness actually comes from. And when we realize it, when others realize it, then the result is that the influence of material nature gradually ceases, and we can experience what the scriptures are telling us. We can actually see everyone and everything as they're related to, eternally to Krishna. We can see Krishna as the complete controller of both the material and the spiritual natures. We can experience Krishna as the all-attractive personality. Everything that it says in the scriptures will gradually be revealed to us. If we perform our activities with knowledge, then will Krishna, as we get more and more association with Krishna through devotional service, then the result is that things are revealed to us, as Krishna says, like the sun lights up the everything in the daytime. But if we simply try to renounce without trying to become conscious of Krishna, that will not be very helpful. It's like you try to grab an alligator by its jaw and keep it shut. Now you may keep it shut for some time, but probably you'll get tired before the alligator. After all, the alligator is just resting, waiting for you to quit. And as soon as you quit, then the alligator has its meal. Because we don't have too much experience with alligators here, but alligators are very powerful jaws. So similarly, if we try to simply restrain our senses, after a while we'll get tired and then they'll overwhelm us and we'll get devoured by our material desires. On the other hand, if we engage our senses in Krishna service, we engage our mind in Krishna service, we engage our intelligence in Krishna service, then they all become purified as we become actually conscious of Krishna. If we're not becoming more and more conscious of Krishna, it means that we have to do what's necessary to become conscious of Krishna, which generally means we have to chant better. Chanting better means we have to hear ourselves and hear ourselves chanting sincerely to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in our service. If we're chanting and we're not hearing ourselves chanting sincerely, it means we're not chanting sincerely. And we don't even remember if we even chanted our rounds or not. That's a really bad sign. We're not even conscious of what the words we're chanting. Then, of course, we won't hear them being chanted sincerely. So we have to listen and hear ourselves chanting sincerely. And then the result should be, the more sincerely we chant, then the more we'll remember Krishna. And the more we remember Krishna, the more Krishna reminds us of himself. Then the more we'll actually experience what it means to chant and be happy. We can't be happy. Of course, we can be happy in the sense, if we chant attentively, we'll be happy in the sense we won't have distractive thoughts, which is, in one sense, is a kind of happiness, not being bothered by so many material desires. But real happiness will come when we chant sincerely and we remember Krishna and feel Krishna's presence. And then we'll begin to understand what actual happiness is all about. So chanting attentively can bring us to the point of liberation. Chanting with some Krishna sincerely, calling out, just probably said, like a child calling out for its mother, will bring us to the point of actually becoming conscious of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? You answer questions, everything becomes so silent. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.